tell you, do not be anxious about your life, about what you should eat, what you should drink, or about your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than food? Is the body not more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither toil nor spin or gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add even one little cubit to your span of life? Why are you worried about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I tell you, Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If God provides for grass which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will God not also provide for you, people of little faith? We hear those words of Jesus, and we have to confess that even at the most devout of us, hears them with some modicum of skepticism. Don't worry about food, don't worry about clothing, don't worry about car payments or house payments either while we're at it, right? Surely it would seem that if we don't worry about the fundamental things necessary to our existence, it puts our lives and the lives of those we love at peril. The words of Jesus seem on the surface supremely impractical. And some would say one of the reasons people regard religion as irrelevant is that comments like these of Jesus just don't seem applicable to real life. And yet, when you hear the passage again, you realize that Jesus is addressing something fundamental to our existence. He's addressing something vitally important. It is our very attitude toward life, our very attitude toward God, and our belief in the very trustworthiness of our Creator. Our attitude toward God and our attitude toward this universe fundamentally colors our entire view of everything that we do. Last week, I challenged you to realize that when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we are literally betting our lives on the trustworthiness of God. When we bet our lives on the trustworthiness of God, it ought to evince itself in five fundamental attitudes. And I need to tell you that while those five attitudes characterize people of belief, people of unbelief have five very different attitudes. And this morning I offer you two very different views of life. First, as believers, we hold to the understanding that spirit is fundamental and the material world is secondary. Spirit is fundamental and the material world is secondary. What we're saying there is simply what John said at the opening of his gospel. In the beginning was God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And without the Word is not anything made that was made. Spirit is fundamental. And everything that is because God willed it into being. God desired creation. For the unbeliever, there is no reality that corresponds to the word spirit. The material world is all that there is. Two very different views of life. For the believer, if spirit is fundamental, then humanity is the less that derives from the more, the less that derives from the greater. That's simply rephrasing the basic Christian understanding that we are who we are because we were created by God in the image of God, and we bear the imprint of God, every single one of us. But we are only faint approximations of our Creator. For the unbeliever, there is no Creator. Life came from nothingness. Intelligence sprung from dumbness. Activity came out of inertia. Consciousness sprung out of unconsciousness. Life out of deadness. I guess the best way I can characterize these two views is to imagine the world as a 747. In the Christian understanding, God is the master designer who fashioned all the aspects of the universe and brought them together in a functioning 747. But for the unbeliever, because there is no Creator, a tornadic wind blew through the cosmos, and by happenstance and random chance, all of the elements of the universe came together accidentally into a functioning 747. I'm reminded of something the great preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said. It takes an awful lot of faith to be an atheist. For the believer, spirit is fundamental, and we are the lesser that has derived from the greater. But for the unbeliever, human beings are the most intelligent and sentient creatures in the universe. Third, for believers, because God fashioned this universe, because God called us into being, we operate on the fundamental assumption that God is working to bring our lives and all creation to a happy ending. That does not mean that every life on earth ends happily. But we as believers believe that God's providence for us extends beyond this earthly existence. Christ says, I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come again, and I will take you to myself, and where I am, you will be also. Our fundamental belief is that God is working to provide for every life a fulfilling ending, even beyond the realm of this earth. For the non-believer, there is no such thing as a happy ending. Existence can only end tragically and in heartache because, again, life came out of accident, random happenstance. Fourth, for the believer, because we believe God fashioned the universe, because we believe God fashioned us, because we believe spirit is fundamental, we believe that our lives are inherently purposeful. We believe that our function in life is to be about the process of soul making, maturing in soul so that we are ready for God's kingdom. We believe that life is a drama in which we invest ourselves, use our gifts, pour out our talents to make real the very kingdom of God. And this world is a theater. A theater in which our souls become more mature. And yet, the world is but an anteroom to a theater beyond. For the unbeliever, because life is random and accidental, it has no purpose. As a famous secular philosopher once said, the more the universe seems comprehensible, the more it seems pointless. Pointless. Fifth and finally, because we believe Spirit fashioned this universe, called it into being, called us into being as part of a vast cosmic drama, we believe that this world is home. We believe that it's home. It's not our only home, but we are at home here. We can trust this universe because it is a theater that prepares us for a theater beyond, prepared by God. Whereas for an unbeliever, ultimately, this world is just a vast wasteland, devoid of purpose or point. Do you ever think about the basic assumptions on which you live? The basic presentation of God in our scripture is our God is a parent who would give us a fish and not a snake, bread and not a stone, a mother who gathers us like a hen under her protective wings, a spirit in whom we live and move and have our being. We operate as believers on the fundamental assumption that God is law. And prepares us in this life for a wondrous, unimaginable life beyond. Think about life from the perspective of a complete non-believer. They live under a sentence of doom. Life is random, pointless, purposeless. And you may find temporary fascination or enjoyment in some temporary pleasure, but in the end, it will not satisfy. There is no real purpose to existence. The fact that you are here in a house of worship on a Sunday morning, in the family of God known as Vineville Baptist, says you are fed by a hope. You are fed by certain assumptions about the goodness and the trustworthiness of God. And in fact, whether you realize those assumptions or not, they color everything that you do. A few years ago, one of my parishioners, a nurse, led a group of nursing students to Bulgaria. And they went into a variety of hospitals in conditions those young nurses could not have imagined. And they ministered to the sick people they found there. And when they returned to our church to give testimony, their unified voice was bringing powers of healing to these people in almost unimaginable circumstances brought us more joy than almost anything we've ever done in our lives. Pouring themselves for others in destitute conditions made them feel they were in sync and in sympathy with the universe. But for an unbeliever who believes that life is random, and that altruism is useless, Why travel across the world to bring healing to people that don't really matter? I think about the massacre at Sandy Hook Elementary School and about the children whose lives were snuffed out. And one of the things that's often forgotten is that 6 teachers died in that shooting, giving their lives to protect their students. Maybe someone who believes there are no moral absolutes in the universe would say, what does it matter? Those young lives were snuffed out. But those teachers knew there was indeed a moral absolute, and the snuffing out of those young innocent lives was an abrogation of the moral universe, and they were willing to give their lives in defense of the moral fiber of our world. Jesus said, think about the birds. Think about the lilies of the field. Even the elements of the created order trust in the goodness, the benevolence of the universe. I came across a story some months ago about a dolphin that had a fish hook in its mouth, and it swam up to a scuba diver and ask the diver to remove the hook. And the diver obliged. Even a dolphin instinctively knows there is benevolent nature imprint upon this world, and they could trust someone else to act on it. Spirit is fundamental. The material world is secondary. We are the lesser creatures that emanate from the greater cosmic will of God. And because that's true, we live with the assumption that God is working to make our lives and all of creation culminate in a happy and fulfilling ending. And our lives are purposeful. Whatever our talents, whatever our gifts, we are meant to invest them in sympathy and in sync with the universe to bring healing and wholeness, light to darkness, and life to death. Because that is true, even as our anterooms are just a doorway to this great sanctuary, so too our lives on this earth are but an anteroom to a vast theater we cannot imagine, prepared for us by God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and without the Word was not anything made that was made. If we truly believe that, if we hold that in the depth of our being, then we can hear Jesus' command, do not be anxious. God will provide. God will provide. May we pray together. Lord, we admit to you sometimes we live on the basis of assumptions we never even acknowledge intellectually. But we do believe that our being roots in you. And that makes all the difference. We do believe that our lives have a purpose and a direction. And that makes all the difference. And we do believe that you call us to claim you, even as you claim us. For that makes all the difference. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.